Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhikamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay. So, for fear of enlarging the book, I have made a summary study of sadhana bhakti. Those who have desire to know more about this can study the Purva Vibhag of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and the Bhakti Sandarbha, translation of Bhakti. No. Okay, that's another thing. Yeah, so that's part of the morning class. And so then the idea is that this gives you a concept. You have to understand what you're dealing with in sadhana bhakti. The idea of this work is that you're very clear on what is the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya. Because with that, then you can make a judgment that whatever you're doing is according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Right? The principles, what we're discussing is the principles. They're always there. Then there'll be so many details, right, on how you can be engaged and all that. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu will give you so many details, 44 different ways you can render service, right, and through sadhana bhakti. But here is the principle of what is sadhana bhakti, what's the mood, how it acts, and everything like that. That's the thing that's given here. So now then, chapter 11. Prayojana, the ultimate goal. Taking a particle of mercy from the munificent Mahaprabhu, I will now present the final goal of the scriptures and of all human endeavors. The one final attainment, prema, which even after compiling, studying, and considering all the Vedas for hundreds of kalpa, Lord Brahma could not understand, and which even Lord Shiva, equipped with all knowledge and yoga powers, the master of the path of renunciation, is always searching for, and which all liberated jivas continually adore as the attainment of their own glory, swamahima. Right, so he's saying is that even Brahma and Shiva is something that they're trying to attain or appreciate. So those who are liberated, those who have come to the platform of bhava like that or beyond, then they, you know, adore that as the greatest thing that they have, right? So that's special, their own glories here. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in teaching Srila Rupa Goswami about prema, said the following. It starts with the Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhangivan Jeev. So he says here, according to their karma, all entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary systems, and some are going down into the lower planetary systems. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service. So this is the important element here, is that one is able to associate with the spiritual master, says, by the grace of Krishna. We always have to remember that this is a Krishna's process. Sometimes we have our idea of what the spiritual master should be, and which is good, which is nice. But the point is it is Krishna's system. So if Krishna has arranged the system works, why we should have a problem, right? So here then the element is that they can give you the seed of the creeper of devotional service. By their association, you've taken up the determination, you want to develop pure unalloyed devotional service. Then you know the process is working. Then it's a matter of, now how do I continue with this in such a way that I actually develop it? You know, what's the practical method? Does this make sense? Right? So that then is what we're looking for. That's what we're looking for. We may have our own ideas of what it means, but this is actually what we're looking for. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions that when the devotee is serious about understanding Krishna, right, and his relationship with Krishna, then Krishna puts him in contact with the bona fide devotees. Like that. So that's how one meets. Does that make sense? Okay. When a person receives the seed of devotional service, he should take care of it by becoming a gardener and sowing the seed in his heart. If he waters the seed gradually by the process of Shravanam Kirtana, the seed will begin to sprout. So a gardener means someone's called a gardener because they actually take the care to do the gardening. Right? It's not that gardener means someone who just knows the science of it, but gardener is someone who actually practically does it. Right? So that means if you're going to be a gardener, okay, then that means he has to be able to take care. Right? If you want to do a nice garden, means you have to understand the field that you're dealing with. Right? You know, you have to know the land, you have to know the seeds, the nature of the seeds, the plants, what they require. You know, they require sun, they require shade, how much water they require, how often, what kind of bugs are going to bother them, what kind of, you know, things can disturb. All that is to be known, right? Then one goes about the process of, that seed is there, then watering that seed properly by hearing and chanting. Then it will begin to sprout, it will begin to grow. So it means you have to make the effort. It's not going to happen on its own. Right? It means if you go along, so much will happen just by the association of devotees. They're engaged in devotional service, you associate with them, you'll be engaged in so much nice devotional service. And you will advance. So that's good. That's the reason for it. But where it gets dynamic is where you yourself actually make the commitment that you want to be Krishna conscious. Right? That's what you want to do. Otherwise, it's nice, it looks good, it's this and that, but there is the element of commitment, of just, I'm going to do this. Right? I'm going to get serious, I'm going to develop that love for Krishna. Right? I want to develop that. Because what he said before is, even though it's not very understandable, the actual quality necessary to develop love of God in a dynamic way is the desire for it. Right? Does that make sense? We may say, no, but what is it I have to do? But why do we say, what is it I have to do? Because we think we're the doer. Right? Not that we don't do things, but we do things because we think I'm the doer. I do it, I get the result. So therefore, you know, if bhakti is the result, so I'm going to do something that gets it. But as we've read, is that prema is independent. Right? It has nothing to do with karma and jnana. So it's not that because we did the endeavor, therefore Krishna has to respond. That's karma mimamsa. Right? I did the yajna, the demigods therefore have to shower their blessings on me. So that actually, if you look at that, that means I'm in control. But here, if we in the philosophy, we know that actually the jiva only desires. And because of the desire, then the super soul, you know, and the modes of nature, then they carry it out. You want to scratch the top of your head. You think, I'm doing it. But how does 1/10,000 the tip of the hair pick up this arm? Right? It's not. So the modes of nature arrange that as you think, I want to scratch my head, then your arm moves up because you've been sanctioned to do it, then you scratch your head. But if you notice, there are times when you want to scratch an itch and you can't. You're holding something or doing something that you can't do that. So it means it wasn't sanctioned. Right? So then we understand we're not in control. Right? Does that make sense? So the most important thing, the actual free will of the living entity, is desire. So if that is the essence of what makes your position, if that is centered on bhakti, then why won't the bhakti come? You want to scratch your head. It works. So if you want bhakti, why wouldn't that work? So it's not because you've done something, then you deserve bhakti. No, because you want bhakti, then Krishna sanctions it and you get it. Right? Also, if you're dealing with a relationship, someone who wants that relationship, that's always going to be more appreciated and more dynamic than somebody thinking, if I do these things, then the person will like me. No, it's a matter of I want to please the person, right? Rather than I want the person to like me. It's about the other person, not about me. Right? Does that make sense? Yes? No? Yeah. So it's a subtle point, is that he's making this distinction here, so then one can very clearly see what is the field, who you are, what is the activities, what's the result. And you don't make any mistakes on what's going on, that you're doing it or that. No, it's by Krishna's grace. That's why he says, by the grace of Krishna, then you get an opportunity to associate with the spiritual master. Right? That's the idea. Okay, as one waters the Bhakti Lata Beach, the seed sprouts, and the creeper gradually increases until it penetrates the walls of this universe and goes beyond the Viraja River, between the spiritual world and the material world. It attains Brahma Loka, the Brahman effulgence. Penetrating through that stratum, it reaches the spiritual sky and the spiritual planet, Goloka Vrindavan. Right. So that means is that creeper going through it means the stages of our devotion will go through all these things. That we will come to the point we will be freed from material attachment. Right? We will be freed from, it crosses the Viraja. So you'll be freed from that element of just, basically, you've gotten rid of, right, what is it? What did I say? Raga, Dvesha, Bhaya, Krodha, right? So Raga, Bhaya, and Krodha. So Raga means attachment. We're talking about material attachment here. We're not talking spiritual. Bhaya is fear. Krodha is anger. Right? So when you practice material life and it goes nicely, you're happy. It doesn't go nicely, then you decide this is stupid, right? Useless. So you take up the impersonalism, right? The fear is that I'm not the enjoyer. So if I'm not the enjoyer, what option does that leave you?
Enjoy?
Means that would be the intelligent step. We're talking about the less intelligent step. The controller, right? Because we think I'm the controller and enjoyer. So if I can't be the enjoyer, then I will be the controller, I'll be God. So that fear then moves back to where I think I am the person looking for someone. Oh, just go here upstairs. Then when that doesn't work, then one becomes angry. When karma and jnana don't work, then one becomes angry, rejects them both, and that's your voidism. Right? So technically is that you have these stages, you're in the material, means the living entity is constantly going through these stages. You're in the material world, you're engaged in material activities. Right? Then you have the element of, when the universe ends, right, and one goes back into the Lord, one's asleep, one's basically dead to everything, one's not conscious. So that's that state, but that's happening. Mahavishnu is on the Viraja, right? That causal ocean is the Viraj. Right? We call it Viraj because what's just on the outside of the universe, but it's the whole place, you know, because it's just floating there. You know? Then when the glance is there, one goes back into the material universe, beginning of creation, then one is in the position of Vasudev Sattva, right? So one is transcendentally situated, but one has the Purusha Bhav, I'm the controller and enjoyer. There's no specifics of it. You're not saying, I'm controlling and enjoying this or that. That only happens at Brahma's creation. Right? Does that make sense? So the living entity in this cycle of creation, destruction, and maintenance tastes all three of these flavors. So that means all three have to be gotten beyond. Right? So then penetrates the walls of the universe, so that we've gotten up the material desire and need. Goes beyond the Viraja, you know, so then that gives up your Buddhism and all that kind of thing. And it attains Brahma Loka, so that's your Brahman understanding or the impersonal. Right? Penetrating to that stratum, so that means one has to go beyond that, because you use much of the time that's used to get out of the material world. Right? Prabhupada mentions that the impersonalists and the Vaishnavas use the same technique to get out of the material world. Right? Does that make sense? You know, a Vaishnava is in the car and a non-devotee is in the car. How do they get out of the car? Right? The devotee has some special way? No, it's the same way. Point is once they get out of the car, what do? That's the difference. The devotee will get out of the car and go on to other service. Only the impersonalist will get out of the car and just exist. You know what I'm saying? So the method's the same by being not attached to one's activities, right? And understanding the principle of everything is Brahman, you remove yourself from the material sphere. You'll get liberated. But for the devotee, that's not good enough. Prema is the point. So that's why the desire for prema must be there. Because basically the devotee has a desire to get out of here. Right? So that's why we endeavor in the sadhana and that. But it should be that sadhana, besides accomplishing freedom from the material contamination, is also developing or cultivating our love for Krishna. Right? So they both go on at once. Right? Otherwise the focus would be, like we saw before, the focus would be too much on getting out of the material world, as opposed to the only reason we need to get out is because we want to be able to properly serve Krishna. So it's not a matter of getting physically out of the material world, it's a matter of getting out by consciousness. Because if the consciousness changes, even you're still here, you're not here. Because material is only a perspective, it's not a place. Right? Dhanakasura is in the spiritual world. But he doesn't see spiritual, he sees material. Right, so even though he's in the spiritual world, you know, Aristasura and Kaliya and all them, they're all in the spiritual world, right? They're in Vrindavan Dham, where Krishna is performing his pastimes with his eternal associates, right? It doesn't get better than that, right? But they see the mundane. So that's the point, is you can still, so the point is your consciousness. The acharyas are here in this material world with us, but they don't see material. They're situated in the spiritual world, even though we can see them walking around with us. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is to change the consciousness. So consciousness is there to get out of here, so that's good. But it has to be, we want to get into there. It's not that we want to go back to Godhead, meaning I have to get from here to there. Is I have to qualify myself by having the service attitude of the residents of Vrindavan. That's what makes them there. You're there because of your qualification of service attitude. Right? And that's how we get ourselves here, is not having that service attitude. Does that make sense? Because it's just a situation in inferior or superior. Right? Things are nice in the spiritual world. But if you don't see in relationship to Krishna, then it's going to act as if it's the material world. Yoga Maya and Mahamaya are the same person. It's just a matter of how you deal is how they respond, right? What was that guy, Shankarachuda? He came into Balaram's Rasa dance and thought, well, here's some nice looking girls, you know, and collected them up and started to walk away with them. So he's dealing with the spiritual energy as if it's material, and it responds materially to him, right? So he gets killed, right? You know, in the spiritual world, you don't get killed, right? So does that make sense? So it's subtle, but it's an important element, is that one is sprouting, it's going through these coverings, because those are the coverings of our consciousness. That's what has to be gotten through. So it's explained according to basically the locative case. You know, so this is the locative description of it, that is going to go through these places. But those places are right there in the heart. Right? So the material world is in the heart. The spiritual world is there. Whatever it is, it's the consciousness. Your consciousness is spiritual, you're in the spiritual world. Your consciousness is material, you're in the material world. It doesn't matter your physical location. That's the important thing. So it's all happening within one's own consciousness. Does that make sense? At the same time as for the pastime, it does go and go through all these and it goes through those places. Right? But at the same time, there is no space, time and space. We think of time and space, but it doesn't work like that. You want something to happen, like people get together. It's a nice situation. They think this will go on forever. They actually feel the foreverness. Right? You know what I'm saying? So it's not a problem that there's no time and space. Only when we don't have that faith or that affection, then that time and space becomes important. But when it's there, it's not important. You understand? So therefore, on the spiritual platform, time and space aren't important. They're there only for pastime. You're standing here, Krishna's there. But you don't have the position of time and space like that there. It can be obtained very easily. Right? You see how big Vrindavan is. Right? We get on a bus and ride for 45 minutes to get to, you know, one of the holy places there. Krishna's cowboys go out and walk that, you know, just, you know, they go out in the morning with their cows. So how is that? Because there's no time and space. It doesn't matter, because the point is go out with Krishna. Today we want to go here and be with Krishna. So it happens. You understand? So that's the thing. But at the same time, it appears as if there is time and space. Otherwise, how do you have a pastime? Right? Because a pastime, you have to have past, present, and future. You have to have a spot. There must be a location. There must be a cause of that, where you started from. They started from Vrindavan and went to the Jamuna. Right? Otherwise, how do you have verbs and stuff? You know, it doesn't happen. So then you don't have action. So it's an interaction between the six kinds of nouns. Right? You know, the subject, the object, the results, the location, the cause. What is it? Did I get all of them? And the instrument. When we forget, because that's us, right? We're the instrument, right? We're not the subject, the guy doing it. We're the instrument, right? Krishna's the... So, does this make any sense? So, both of these happen at once. That's the meaning of this inconceivable potency that Krishna talks about. That the contradictions can be reconciled, right? Remember Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about, there's that reconciling potency that's there. That reconciles all the funny differences and everything that we may find, the contradictions, because Krishna is the source of all of them, so there is no contradiction. Right? It all works very, very nicely. Does that make sense? Yeah? Excuse me. Okay. Is that clear? Point was is that we're dealing both with the element of the pastime of going through these stages. At the same time, as it's all happening within the heart. So these two things can happen simultaneously. Okay? Being situated in one's heart and being watered by Shravana Kirtanam, the Bhakti creeper continues to grow. In this way, it attains the shelter of the desired tree of the lotus feet of Krishna, who is eternally situated in the planet known as Goloka Vrindavan, in the topmost region of the spiritual sky. That creeper gradually expands in Goloka Vrindavan planet, and there it produces the fruit of love of Krishna. Although remaining in the material world, the gardener regularly sprinkles the creeper with the water of hearing and chanting. Right, so here, yeah, okay, well, maybe see the next one. Okay, this goes into other things. Okay, so even though he's here, you can develop that love. Right, this is the stage of bhava. You're bridging both worlds, because you see here is you're dealing with Krishna in Goloka, at the same time as you're still in the world here. Right? So, the Lord's pastimes in the material world, then he's eternally situated in Goloka Vrindavan, but at the same time he comes and performs his pastimes here. So one is able to bridge these two that they both can function at once. But it means one's crossed the need for this, you know, karma, jnana, and this voidism. They've all been removed from the heart. Then one can actually deal with Krishna in these transcendental situations. Does this make sense? Yeah. If the devotee commits an offense at the feet of a Vaishnava, while cultivating the creeper of devotional service in the material world, his offense is compared to a mad elephant that uproots the creeper and breaks it. In this way, the leaves of the creeper are dried up. The gardener must defend the creeper by fencing it all around so the powerful elephant of fences may not enter. sometimes unwanted creepers, such as the creepers of desire for material enjoyment and liberation from the material world, grow along with the creeper of devotional service. The varieties of such unwanted creepers are unlimited. Some unnecessary creepers growing with the bhakti creeper are the creepers of behavior, unacceptable for those trying to obtain perfection. Diplomatic behavior, animal killing, mundane profiteering, mundane adoration, and mundane importance. All these are unwanted creepers. One does not distinguish between the bhakti lata creeper and the other creepers. The sprinkling of water is misused because the other creepers are nourished while the bhakti lata creeper is curtailed. So it means the same process of devotional service will water both. Right? Because Vishwanath is pointing out in Anartha Nivritti that by following the devotional process, one becomes stable, steady, one becomes fixed in devotional service. At that time, you also have the element, then things will start to go right for you, right? The tendency is things don't always go right. But they start to go right. People appreciate, people come forward. They like what you're doing, facility increases. Right? So the idea is that this facility still has to be connected to Krishna. Otherwise, one can get distracted, and then these other things may come up. Mundane profiteering, adoration, importance, diplomatic behavior. Right? These things can come up. Even though they're coming up on a different platform, it's important to note that these things being there in the heart of a neophyte, those are there from their direct conditioning. Someone who's advanced, these things coming up, they're actually coming up from the process of devotional service. It means devotional service doesn't create them, but the devotional service then allows these other weeds to become nourished. Does that make sense? So it's because of their advancement that their troubles are coming up. So their troubles are different from our troubles. Practically speaking, they're the same trouble, but they're coming from a different platform. They're coming from the platform, they're good at devotional service, they become proud of it. Right? Well, we're not so good at devotional service, so our troubles are just coming from our own conditioning. Does that make sense? It means our own karma and things like that. This is coming from spiritual facility. Ours is coming from material facility, from our own previous activities. Does this make sense? It's very subtle. That's why you see sometimes senior devotees can get into these troubles. Right? It's coming from a different platform. So that's why they're still not to be criticized in the same way. They're not to be dealt with like an ordinary person. Right? Because devotees are never ordinary. Anyone who's taken up the process is not ordinary. Ordinary means they haven't taken up devotional service. They don't know about Krishna. They're not interested in Krishna. That's ordinary. Whether they're big and famous or they're not, it's ordinary. Anybody who takes up the process, sincerely, that's special. Right? So then when a devotee runs into difficulties in this process, it's not an ordinary running into difficulty. Therefore, they're not criticized in the same way. The comments we'll make about the mundaners, we don't make that about the devotees. Right? So that was his point here, is that commits an offense at the feet of a Vaishnava. Now here he didn't define Vaishnava, so that's generic. He didn't say an uttam bhakta, or Vaishnava means one who is situated in prema. You understand? He just said devotees. So that's, one has to be careful about that. Right? Otherwise then these will make problems for us, right? They do. So these other things then can come up. Diplomatic behavior, mundane profiteer, mundane adoration, mundane importance. Right? I can't be wrong because I'm in a senior position, so therefore, we can't actually correct the mistake we made because it'll make it look bad for us. Here it says diplomatic behavior. That's kind of like a more, literary translation. A modern translation would be called politically correct, like that. Because that's what it is. Diplomatic behavior, politically correct. Diplomatic, political, correct behavior. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is that diplomacy can be used in the performance of one's duty, but it can't be diplomacy is seen as actually the devotional element. It's a tool. Like you cook, you may use a pot, but the pot itself is not the cooking. But as soon as you take the pot to be more important than the cooking, you've made a mistake. Does that make sense? So all of these things are very fine. Okay, now if you don't distinguish between the devotional creeper and the weeds, then the weeds will take over, right? Because weeds are pretty, you know, so they somehow or another are an entity that without much care, they seem to grow very nicely. You know, so gardeners are known for favoring, you know, the particular plants and not being favorable to the weeds, right? Because weeds, you don't have to be a gardener to grow weeds. It means you do nothing, they'll grow. You see here, if you just leave the place, it's very lush and green. But what is it? It's weeds, right? Like that. So that's a problem. Okay. So this offense to the devotees, then that we have to be very, very careful about. Very, very careful. Like that. Yes?
So how can we best get through the situation where the weeds are coming up so that we can recognize them again and pull them out?
You just be very clear what they are. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving a very clear definition exactly what's devotional. Yes.
And then we catch it before it even comes to
you. Or even if it's caught later. That's the nice thing. The devotional process is so perfect that at whatever stage we catch it, it still works.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that there's not going to be something you have to work with, you know, from the reactions of what's done. But the point is it works, because the important thing is that intelligence, you see that what it is, what's devotion, what's not, and you're committed to the devotion. That's why that element of desiring devotional service, if that's the prominent element in the heart, then when the opportunity is there to perform it, one can. When one is able to understand that something one's done is not ideal, one is able to make that adjustment. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, then you have these things of mundane importance, adoration, profit. Those will come up, and that will block that, because one can't be honest. One can't be straightforward. You know, honest means what we mean here is in connection to Krishna. Straightforward means connection to Krishna. Honest doesn't mean facts and figures. You know what I'm saying? So to be able to deal with this all means you have to be able to move beyond facts and figures and look at what actually is happening. You know what I'm saying? Because illusion's illusion, right? If you're out in the desert and you see a mirage of, you know, a nice, you know, little pool with a couple of coconut trees and all that, then, you know, that's fine. But it's an illusion, right? It's a mirage. Now, if you're out there and there and you see, you know, a 5-star hotel, you know, the swimming pool and guys out there with snacks and drinks, you know, it's still an illusion. You know what I'm saying? But the two people in the desert are arguing that my mirage is better than your mirage, because mine is, you know, natural and more traditional and all that, while yours is, you know, more modern and, you know, nonsense. Right? But they're both mirages. So that's the whole point, is that distinguish, you know, what is reality. Right? Isn't that there's some famous thing distinguishing something? Something it uses the word distinguishing and reality. It's one of these ones I think either Prabhupada says or we use it a lot.
In the first canto, in the first chapter.
Oh yeah, okay. But the Bhagavatam will allow this to happen. Say it again.
Distinguishing reality.
Distinguishing reality from illusion. So reality. So truth is reality. Truth is not facts and figures. Because when you deal with facts and figures, then you're dealing with diplomatic behavior. Because a fact and a figure is what one community says is good, another says is bad. You know what I'm saying? So that is, you know what I'm saying? That's going to change according to the particular mundane perspective. Like that. So that's why it's so important to be able to actually technically identify what is devotional service. Means you know you're properly situated, that you're associated with devotees, you're following the sadhana, you're following the programs, that's properly situated. But within one's own heart, and one is making the distinction between the fine points on how much of that are you able to take advantage of, how much of that are you not being taking the external form to actually be your advancement, as opposed to what is your actual mood in performing those activities. You know what I'm saying? We don't have a problem with external. We have a problem if external is not connected to Krishna. So that means the internal mood is the most important. The internal mood's right, it connects all variety of external. Right? It means, you know, Ambarish Maharaj is just known for engaging in all the nine processes, but he was an emperor. So that means he's a king, he has all his, you know, his court and all his spies and his army and all the diplomacy, everything that's going on there. And all that's happening. But at the same time, is within that, he's able to connect all of that to Krishna. So that for us is not the problem. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. As soon as an intelligent devotee sees an unwanted creeper growing beside the original creeper, he must cut it down instantly. Then the real creeper of Bhakti Lata Bij grows nicely, returns home back to Godhead and seeks shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna. Right? Means, in other words, it's growing. If these weeds come up, then there's going to be a problem. And so we're dealing with these weeds when we're basically still, the creeper hasn't necessarily returned there. I mean, well, here he uses return. So it could mean that if he's taking it on, it means you could take it from a few angles. One is that in the process of it breaking out of the material world through the covering of the universe, that all these weeds will come up. But at the same time, as sometimes these weeds are that of Brahman or the other thing. Like that. This is sometimes where determination is not appreciated. Yeah, somebody keeps, you know. At other times they just call and then, oh, maybe he's busy, but you know, when you actually are busy, then they keep calling, you know, like that. How come he didn't answer? It was important. I didn't know whether I should get it with olives or without olives, you know, you know, stuff like that. You know, stuff.
I'm in the store. Which one should I get?
Yeah, I'm in the store. That's right. Yeah. Does that make sense? So in other words, in the process of it growing through all those, then it's going to, but once it crosses Vrindavan into Golok, then basically one's dealt with all these weeds. You know, what we would say is your common weeds. But at the same time, you brought in the mad elephant offense. So then that can destroy the creeper even if it's grown all the way to there. Right? Because it's taken shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, but it hasn't given the fruit of love of Godhead yet. So it can still be destroyed, right? So one has to be very, very careful. Yes?
That comes from pride. Come from pride?
Generally, it'll come pride, because pride means ignorance. So ignorance means you do something you shouldn't, like that. So that's generally. But one will think, I'm advanced, I'm the, you know, the controller, the enjoyer, all these different kinds of things. So that element is there. But now he says return, so this means it could have even grown to there. Then these weeds come up, one's not careful, they created some problem. Now one's cut them down, and now it will return to that place. So that means also is that that creeper, even if something happens, can be growth can be started again in development. So therefore that element that someone has a problem, then it's not an eternal problem. Right? It may be a long problem, but it's not eternal. There's no such thing as... The only thing that's eternal is being situated in our natural relationship with the Lord. Right? That's the only thing that's eternal. Everything else is actually temporary. But because it can be so long, one can't actually estimate it, then it's as good as eternal. because you can go on like this for basically eternity. But at the same time, because eternity is a long time, at some point the jiva gets tired of it and corrects himself and goes back to Godhead eternally. So this is where you need that potency to. Excuse me, is there that guy, next to you? I tried calling him, but he seems to be on his phone. It's really important, you know, like that. slowly, just keeps going. Okay, so here is then the element of return. Sorry, yes.
Should we find the offenses that we should avoid? That in the case where Vaishnava is offended, for example, let's say our guru is offended due to envy by some god brother or some. So,
Wait.
Attitude.
If you want to be politically correct, you have to say god brother or god sister.
How should we react?
How do we react? Basically speaking, we ourselves know what we should be doing. We stick to that. Because technically speaking, according to etiquette, this is Guru Varga. So just as the spiritual master is revered, then anybody in his generation is also. So that would mean that's between them. You know, it's just like if your father and your uncle get into a fight, it's nothing to do with you. They have their relationship, it's to do with them. It's not your business to correct your uncle. You know what I'm saying? You can give support to your father, like that, but it's not your business to deal with the uncle. It's his business. You don't have that relationship. So that's an important element. So when you're dealing with Guru Varga, you basically stay out of it. It's between them. Because what is going on there, what levels they're dealing at and all that, you can't understand. Like that. One will just take it as envy. There may be something else that's there. There must be something completely beyond, things that you don't know, history that you've never heard of.
So we shouldn't change our attitude to that?
No. One may be very careful, one may not be so involved with that person until it's been worked out. But one doesn't himself... how you say? One doesn't deal with it about them. If they're creating a situation for the spiritual master that's not important to be there, one can work in such a way that you remove that situation. But you're not actually dealing with the person. Understand? Because it's not our business. It's on a different level.
And if it's a god brother or someone who's a non-devotee, the attitude is again...
God brother, but... Now your definition, God brother, means your God brother rather than the spiritual master's God brother.
Yeah, someone more or less on the same level.
Then you can deal with it if it's within your capacity to deal. If it's out of your capacity and that, then you don't deal. Like that. So that you have to see is, what is your sphere of influence? If you don't have a sphere of influence, then why would you get involved? Like that. You'd just be supportive. Like that. Let them work. Let either the spiritual master or those who can work it out, let them do it. You just be supportive. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Yes?
How would it manifest?
Generally, it's what's seen is that material desire arises in the heart. One gets distracted from one's determination, devotional service. Right? So one becomes distracted by all these qualities that were mentioned before. Diplomatic behavior, animal killing here, mundane profiteering, mundane adoration, mundane importance. Right? So in other words, the weakness of the heart may be there, material desires may be there, misunderstanding or not proper understanding of the philosophy may be there, further committing of offenses. You know, one becomes more prone towards that. Does that make sense? It's subtle. It's not that you'll say something and then you'll slam the door, walk out of the room and that, and then a thunderbolt will come down and there'll be a little zopped, a little pile of ash there, and then everybody in the room will just go, you know, see, we told you so, you know, like that and that kind of thing. You know, there is a God, you know, something like that, you know what I'm saying? It's very slow. It's very... You deal with them the same. You deal with them the same. Because in any case, it's a weed. You have to deal with it. So whether it's something, you know, because how you say, it will be rooted in what was there before. You know what I'm saying? In other words, the offense is there. Therefore, the weeds that were there before can grow. So they're basically going to be similar. So your dealings with them will be similar. But just where they come from, that you can analyze. Does that make sense? Was the weed already there, or was the weed growing while your devotional process was going on? You know, if it's there from before, you're just becoming aware of it, then you deal with it, remove it. If it's that in your devotional creeper, it was a weed that you weren't being careful about it, so therefore it grew, so you deal with it. Right? But the main thing is developing the proper Vaishnava of attitude and behavior, that humility, that tolerance, that respect for others. Not looking for that respect for yourself. Does that make sense?
Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that whatever advancement one makes on this path is never lost, and at the same time, this offense against the Vaishnava can destroy the whole Bhakti Kripa. So how do we understand that?
Don't make offenses. Right? In other words, there is one's own mundane conditioning that gets in the way, so whatever advancement you've made, then that won't be lost, even if it's covered by or overwhelmed by one's material conditioning. That won't be lost, right? That's what that means. But if you offend the Vaishnavas, even that can be removed. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why it's always brought out, the offense of the Vaishnavas. It means there's so many other technical details of offenses, but Lord Chaitanya only brings that one out. Right? Then he says the weeds. Right? So the weeds he doesn't get into detail. That will be explained by the Acharyas. Right? This is instruction to Rupa Goswami, so it will be explained. But the point is the Vaishnava aparad, that just has to be very clearly understood. That's just not done. Because for Krishna, every living entity is his part and parcel, so they're all dear to him. It's just the point is that he deals with them according to how they deal with him. So they deal with him in devotional service, he reciprocates that way. But they deal with him in the mundane way, he reciprocates that way. But they're all dear to him, otherwise why is he doing it? Does that make sense? He wouldn't make this material world if the living entities weren't dear to him. Does that make sense? Is that okay? Yes. Yes. Immediately means today. Not so immediately means tomorrow. Practically, it depends on what it is. It depends on the kind of what it is. Means whatever that particular kind of attachment or misunderstanding or misgiving is, then we have to deal with that. That will come up later. in the process. So now it's being brought about. We're discussing now about the result of the goal, obtaining to prema. So there's exact details and all that, but we'll get into that a little bit later, like that, because we'll get into that. But basically, there's kutinati, which is diplomacy. Right? It's one of the four categories of aparad. Now, it has four parts, so I can't tell you what those are. Then you have asatrishna, or hridai daurbalyam, means weakness of heart. Means you want to do something, but you can't. Then you have asatrishna, which means that there will be thirst for material desire, material things, like that. And then you have aparads. Right? So you have seva aparads, nama aparads, all these different kinds of aparads, like that. So these are the four categories of weeds. And each category has four divisions, like that. So the technicality of that we'll deal with later. Is that okay? But the main thing is, if you're aware of it, it's not devotional service, it's not devotional attitude that's given up. Yeah?
Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samabhetha Bhaktivrinda ki, Jaya Nitai Gaur Prayanandi. Also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur will now start to explain and give details like that. Further as we go, we'll get more details.
This is from Srimati Mataji.
This is from Srimati Mataji.
She just wanted to check in with you. And
she's here in my airport.
Yeah, she's come. She's going to keep a low profile and not do her workshops, but she said she might take a few Mataji's on some japa walks and just
I'll go to different places. Tell her. Happy, low profile.
No, I think she'll probably come and see
something. Oh, okay.
Even